one. Now we got to talk.
Hello. Welcome to Sunday's Brit Healing, everyone on BBS. Welcome. We're just checking everyone in.
Good morning, Zoe, Sacramento.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi, everybody.
This is Steve in Flagstaff, and hi, your voice is sure higher than it was last time I heard you.
Welcome, Steve. Donna, go ahead.
I'm here. Finally, I got knocked off the call. Welcome to Sunday's Prayer Healing. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Tammy
this is
from
Michael in Camino.
Hi, Tammy. Hi, Michael.
And Michael in Camino, California. Hello.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Tammy.
Hi,
here.
Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing. Please say your grid. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please say your name and your city. Doesn't Heist make this look so easy?
Yeah.
Hello, hello. This is Eric in rainy Phoenix.
Hey.
Hi, Eric.
Welcome.
Hi, Eric.
Good morning, everybody.
Healing call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Is there anybody up there?
Well, when we hear a ding, we have to be quiet now.
That's right. But only if you want to.
I agree.
Mr. Wynn is listening. I know he is.
No,
I just resisted. Hive gave me that. And every time he invites somebody to say their name and location and there is silence, it just comes out.
Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Good afternoon. This is Joel in Chicago.
Welcome, Joel.
Yay.
Thank you.
Hey, Joel.
How are you?
Hey, is somebody going to call Wynn? It's one.
Oh, that's his problem.
Or 10, I should say, 10 a.m.
It doesn't matter. He'll get here when he gets here. He's
yeah,
just like Mel.
Pardon?
Marilyn.
He was saying it's just like Marilyn. I just said Marilyn just a minute.
Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, this is Don in Brecksville. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don.
Hello.
Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Carla from Anchorage.
Hi, Carla.
Carla, welcome.
Hi, Carla.
Hey. One, would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Mel from England. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mel. Hey, marvelous, Mel. Welcome.
Yeah, marvelous.
Hi, Mel.
Missed a few weeks, but... through different things, not being in front of my computer, but great to be with you today, folks.
Great to hear your voice.
Call. Would you say your name and location?
It's Wynn and Terry.
Hey.
Wynn and Terry.
Hey, Terry. Hey, Wynn.
Welcome, Terry.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
We
can hear you. Yes, we can.
We can even hear you in England.
You have no echo.
Hi, Mel.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Wynn.
We have a person come in to the call. Would you like to say your name and location, please?
Hi.
Good morning. Good morning, Jim from Sedona. Good morning, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hey.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Now there's a good one, good new member.
When I see you're attracting an older audience now.
Actually, Carla, are you there?
Well, I just turned 70. I have to quit.
You go, girl. You go.
Jim and what call it?
we have some hyenas in here tuning in.
All right, we had someone come in. Would they like to say their name and location?
Yeah, hi, this is Sarah in Virginia.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
Welcome, Terry.
Welcome, Terry.
Terry, they're on good behavior since you said hello.
That is only a temporary situation, I promise.
We can outgrow it.
It can be changed. I wish I could give
Absolutely.
Each and every one of you a piece of my cake out of the biggest Staten Island. I have no idea what to do with it.
What is it?
What?
A what, Carla?
It's a cake
Maryland?
That's too big to eat. Oh. Have you ever gotten one of those and you go, thank you.
I hear you, Donna.
Oh, dear, I'm going to waste it. I just know I am. It's huge, you know.
Thanks for having me.
What kind of cake is it?
Yeah.
Before we accept it, what kind of cake is it?
I have to test it for poison.
Welcome to Sunday Grid, Lynn Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hey, this is Don and
Roger in Austin.
Welcome, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Austin.
Was it Ron?
Roger. Roger, I think.
Roger?
Yes. In Austin.
Yes.
Welcome.
Oh, Roger. Good morning.
Good morning. Would you like to say their name and location?
Hi, this is Victoria. And I'm I'm calling from Sumner, Washington.
Welcome, Victoria.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Victoria. It's Vaughn from North Hollywood.
Oh, hello. Hello.
How are you doing, my dear?
Hearing your voice. I'm doing wonderful, just wonderful. Thank you for asking. I really feel a really high vibration and energy right now.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yes, I can feel it off of you, too.
It's a good place to linger.
Yes.
All right, welcome to the call. Red Healing Call, would you like to say your name and location?
I'm Victoria Vaughn. Gigi from Vancouver.
Welcome.
Good morning.
From
Peoria, Arizona. Good morning.
Good morning.
Iowa
City.
Somebody's got their BBS going.
Yeah, Iowa City.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
Marilyn?
Yes.
You want to take the call?
Yes. When are you just about ready? To be not ready?
Hey.
Hi.
Hello, you're deaf.
What's your name?
Very good. Name me.
Well, when your voice has gotten
is
so different.
Is your name Wynn?
What's your location?
Yeah.
And they call.
Well,
would you like
yourself
to
permission to be a, give yourself permission to be a child, but taking it
too
far.
Yeah.
Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
But only if you want.
Hi, it's Tina from Asheville, North Carolina.
Hi, Tina. Welcome to Sunday's Good Healing.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I can only be here about a half hour, but I'll check into the recording later.
Okay.
I'm going to an Asheville Vegan Society and Voice for Animals Goat Mountain Sanctuary benefit.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow.
Potluck.
That sounds like
yeah.
fun.
It's a very
yeah.
specific benefit.
Hello.
Sounds like there's a TV on in the background, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
That's PBS.
In the background.
Probably the one that has the little boy speaking to us.
Yeah, but that's the neat part, Marilyn. That voice, that TV background has got your laughter, and that's the greatest laughter in the world.
Only to you, Duane.
No, you are worldwide right now, my dear.
Welcome to Sunday Grid Healing Call. Would you say your name and location?
Hey!
Hi!
Others have joined us. Would you like to say your name and location?
Abby from California.
Welcome,
hi.
Abby.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Hi, Abby.
Good morning, Abby.
In Seattle.
Well, welcome to the call.
Welcome,
morning.
Seattle. What was your name?
Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi,
I've
Debbie.
I've talked to you before.
I'm sure.
Your voice.
That's not Happy Oasis, is it?
Happy Oasis? In Seattle?
No.
Actually, there is a woman by the name of Happy Oasis.
Cool.
What a name.
And she does vegan, vegan festivals, and she's an influence to a lot of people.
Wow.
Wouldn't forget her name.
Marilyn, when you laugh, it reminds me of Joanne Worley from Laughing.
No kidding.
When she played Edith, the little kid in the rocking chair.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't Joanne Worley. That was
Lily Tomlin. That was the other one. That
Lily
wasn't Joanne Worley.
Yeah.
Yes, Lily Tomlin.
Grid Healing Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
I'm telling you, right? I mean, this is so much. It's like, wow.
I didn't even hear that one, Donna.
I barely understood it. Barely.
Good
morning.
But if you guys are talking about laughing, you're kind of dating yourself.
Well, at least if you're dating yourself, you're having a cheap date that you know you'll enjoy.
That's right.
But there are such things as replays, you know.
What was it, the 70s?
Yeah.
60s.
Yeah.
Was it 60s?
Into the 70s, because Nixon made an appearance.
Yeah, I think it was the 70s also.
68,
yeah,
I think, is when
think
it went
so
on
too.
The air.
Yeah.
You know what?
Hey, Marilyn, your laughter even goes Latin, because there's a very famous laughter that goes way beyond the United States in Univision.
Oh, Duane, I think you're really exaggerating now a little bit.
Not at all.
Duane is always out there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm insane, and I will never go sane, because if you go sane, you're not going to create anything.
Okay. All righty.
Don't do it.
Whatever you do, don't do that.
We should start.
We wouldn't know you anymore.
We should start a new TV show and call it the Retro Indigos.
There you go.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, wow. That was good.
Write that down,
Blaine. Retro Indigos. Hey.
Right.
Well, Goldie Hawn with Laughing has to be on our show.
Yeah. Rowan and Martin's Laughing was on the air from 1967 to 1973.
He's got Google.
Wow.
Marilyn?
She sure took a lot of baths.
Marilyn.
Goldie Hawn. You know, the one I remember is Ruth Buzzy sitting on that park bench with that net thing in her hair and those baggy socks on her legs and that big bag, and that guy would come along and she thought he was the masher, right? And she starts banging him on the head with her purse.
Artie Johnson.
Yep.
Yes, Artie Dawson. Thank you.
And they thought those were that was luggage at the time, and now they're purses.
Yeah, exactly.
Marilyn, you are doing an awesome job.
Yes, you are.
You know,
so Donna.
I'm not answering. It's Donna. She's doing a good job.
You both are.
You're both doing an awesome job. You have got the most giggly group I ever heard on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, we're really pumping it up, boy. We've got the energy.
All right.
Well, I think that's what's so important, Wynn, is that we all laugh. I think that raises our vibration.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Lynn Connell, would you like to say your name and location?
Yes, this is Susan from Mesa.
Hi,
good morning.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Welcome. Hi, Susan.
Hey, how are you?
Kicking high. Hey, Terry and I were in Mesa last week.
You were?
I should...
What were you doing?
Terry's favorite dentist is in Mesa.
Ooh.
Dr. Margolis.
That little boy talks just like you. There's another reincarnation of Wynn. He's attracted to you now.
I'm going to mute everybody. Okay? I've had enough.
Hey, Wynn, this is Roger. Can I say one thing before we mute?
I don't know. Okay, what?
Yeah, I said it before a couple months ago, and I said, you cannot laugh if your heart is closed.
That's true.
It's a great way to
That's
start
true.
The show. I thought, Doug, just start the call.
All right.
However, you are never going to...
Thank you, Donna.
Hey, thank you, Marilyn. I appreciate it. Where's Doug?
Well, that's Donna in Montana, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, when we were in Mesa... We went and had dinner with
Dave.
Dave, right.
Yeah, I got all the details.
Got all the details. Oh, my God. I told Dave I was in a really bad mood, and I probably wouldn't even say hello to him, but he came anyway.
He thinks the world
of you. Oh, man. Wynn, this is Teresa. Can I say one thing before you mute all of us?
I don't know. What were you going to say? Tell me, and then I'll
okay.
say it.
Okay. I'm in the Texaco Country Showdown, which is a nationwide singing and songwriting contest. And my profile page is up on Texaco Country Showdown. And under the stage name of Taltia, T-A-L-T-I-A, and everybody, if they want to, can check my profile page out. I've got my photo, my bio, and my music. And then they can vote for me after August 5th, anytime August 5th and after. And I just competed in Kentucky, and I'm going to be doing Tennessee, Illinois, Michigan, Texas, and a couple other states.
Hey, didn't you put all that in the light a few weeks ago?
You bet I did.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you. I don't know. Did everybody hear that? Or
we heard you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Wynn, for letting me say that.
Now, does anyone else want to promote anything since I let Teresa do it?
Any of us, Wynn.
Well,
yeah,
I do.
I want to promote the wellness pendant because it's working great.
Yes, Wait, and you know what? I give credit to God because my music comes from God to me for the people to help them, and that's
right.
And that's it's always in the light.
Right.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Dwayne, when is Truckers Radio coming out?
We got a little setback. The host is in the hospital right now facing amputation of his big toe. I told him, I said, it could have been the whole foot. Anyhow, I'll let you know, but it got delayed a little bit. But Prescott, get your stuff together because we're trucking through.
All right. Now I'm muting everybody. Okay.
Except me.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning. This is Winfrey and family. I forget what I call them now. The indigo, the retro indigos. We got to see if we get some people under 30 on this line. Of course, we have a bunch of people that are under 30 in spirit. Now, Marilyn, you're a moderator tonight. That means I have to hear you laugh all the time, right?
No, I'll mute myself.
That's okay. We'll keep it up until it gets to be too much, all right?
Okay.
I've
been on a chuckle in the background.
You have. Your laugh is cheering everybody up. And, of course, this is our Sunday grid healing. And my name is, I said that already. We have Terry here, who just came in. Would you like to say your name and your city? No, you're muted. Never mind. We heard you. Let me just, hang on, I don't have highs here. And let me see. Okay, our chimes are off. And Carla, you know, somebody complained that I always start things and then you fit in. So
what's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that. Well, I'm only the facilitator. But I thought...
And originator.
Originator.
Yes.
I thought maybe today we'd reverse it. But only if you want to. You could start, and then you can say, Wynn, what do you think about that?
My thoughts have been rotating around things like, what does it mean to be 70 in a culture where age has changed tremendously since I was a kid. 70 would have been extremely old when I was 20. 70 got to be moderately old by the time I was about 50. And if you look at the national statistics, you'll see that people are living longer and longer. And so the question is, Can you live brilliantly? Can you live with excitement? Can you live with originality and love and heart to an age that's longer than we had before? What do we do with the extra years? To me, it's not a problem because I'm set on my horse and I've been galloping for some time, and it's a sturdy old horse, and we love to go. And hopefully I'll be going for another 30 or 40 years. No problem. I certainly have the work to do. Spirit is a taskmaster. I was thinking about just how spirit is. You know, you get a little bit of a nudge from spirit. Okay, I can do that. And then you settle into that, and you get another little nudge from spirit. And you think, okay, after I do this, I can do that. And let him, you know, if eventually you get to the point where you're feeling such a press, a back pressure, that you realize that you can't live long enough to get it all done. So you just relax about it. And age becomes meaningless. And the only reason age means anything is that your various parts may have to be repaired from time to time, and the times become more frequent. That's not always true. In my case, I'm actually healthier and doing better than I was 30 years ago. So, you know, what do we do with the time? And if we're doing something good with the time, then it doesn't matter. Our age really doesn't matter. And the only thing that matters is the energy level with which we meet the day. And although I will admit that I sometimes meet the day by rolling over and going back to sleep for a while, I used to wake up at 5:30 and feel fit and ready for the day, and I would get lots of work done before anybody else was up. I love that time of morning when you can just, you know, it's so quiet when nobody else is up. If you go outside, the streets are yours. Nobody's, you know, the lights are turning just for you. And you're sitting inside, and you have your own little atmosphere, and you can create it. And there's nobody else in the psychic space. And then, you know, 6 o'clock hits, or 6:30, and it starts getting very crowded in the psychic space. And by 7 o'clock, it's crowded for the day. If you live in a city, you can feel that energy all day. But the morning is so precious, and I lose that these days a lot because I just turn over and go back to sleep. And my body says, no, sweetheart, you're going to need to sleep a little bit more today. But I did get up in time for this, and that means afternoon in my part of the country.
So, is today your birthday?
Today's not my birthday. Last Tuesday was my birthday. I turned 70. And it's a huge one for me because when I was born, my parents were told that I would not live, that there was too much brain damage. My left eye had turned into my brain, into the amygdala, which is the third eye, interestingly enough. And I always have thought that it was something destiny-ridden about that, my third eye was opened at that time so that I could channel. I would not at all be surprised if that wasn't something that just needed doing. And it did almost kill me, but I recovered. And then when I was 2, I got a very vicious case of rheumatic fever and almost died. The doctors again said, well, she's going to die from this. Well, I didn't. And my kidneys failed when I was 13. Well, I didn't die then, although I came very close to them. Then and had an interesting experience where I had a chat with an interesting voiceover that said, do you want to go back and live? Or do you want to stay on this side for a while and create maybe 2 more lifetimes to do the work that you plan to do in this lifetime? Because you plan to do too much, really. And we don't usually do this. We want to give you a second chance. Okay, so I had a thought about it, weighing the various options. If I came back, and if I didn't come back, and then I had to come back twice and go through 2 more childhoods. And I thought, I really had a tough childhood. I didn't enjoy it much, and I'm 13 now. That I'm almost through. I think I'm going to stay with this one. So I And since that time, I've been gradually getting healthier and haven't had any real emergencies since then, although there have been times when the doctor said, gee, I thought you were going to die. And I'm sitting there smiling and going, well, I didn't. So, you know, I guess the answer to why is simply that if you have a lot of illness in your life where you have bedtime and you can't get up and do anything, then you have a lot of time for inner work if you'll strap yourself down to doing the inner work. And I always found that to be a good use of time. So I guess I used that time the way I was supposed to. And always really, you know, I never felt limited because I had to spend a little time in bed. And I'm in that situation right now and have been for the next last. This is a long rehab for me, 2 years, 2 months. I haven't been able to close a wound on my back. So possibly in the next month or so, I'll have one last operation. It'll close for good. I'll heal up within the next month, and then I'll get all better, and I'll get back to life as I knew it before this. Now, during this various time, last 3 years or so, I haven't been able to walk. So I'm recovering to life in a wheelchair. But this is basically okay because you don't have to do anything to work on the computer except use your fingers. I got that. And I can work sitting in one place. So I can do my work. So as long as I can do my work, I'm pretty good with that. I know there are a lot of people that would be irritated at not being able to get around better. But I got around great for a long time. And I'm kind of curious to see where this road leads, you know? It's like I haven't ever been on a road that stayed absolutely the same for very long. There's always a twist and a turn. And, oh, well, let's see what happens now. And, you know, it's good to have that attitude because the only other attitude really is, OMG, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do because it's not the same as it was before. And for all I know, I might not like it. And then you start spiraling downhill. So I'm glad that I've got an adventurous spirit and kind of curious to know, well, where does this road lead? Lynn, have you gone down any weird roads lately?
Well, I was in Mesa last week.
Yeah. How weird was that?
Well, Mesa is an interesting thing. I don't know if that's a weird road. You know, as you were talking, if I'm just going to say what was popping into my head, it's like when, you know, a few years ago when I had met Daphne and I was in the middle of writing the book.
Well, there was a turn.
Right.
Turning your road when you met Daphne.
Right. Time. Right. And, you know, there was that time when in the first 6 months, where I asked them, I said, how do I know I live in other dimensions. I've had all these synchronicities all my life. How do I connect with the dimensions, the other dimensions better? Well, they said, write your dreams down. And so that night, I put a pad by my bed. I kept waking up and writing something down. And in the morning, there were all these sentence fragments on the pad. And it said things like, you have to look tall and thin. I'm finally getting there. You're supposed to be the front man. It's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world.
That was true.
Yeah. Communication from another dimension, just like Casey. He slept to connect with these dimensions. Well, the one that was going on for quite some time, and it still goes on if I take the time to write them down. And
to read them.
And to read them. And one of my, I had some really funny ones. One of my favorites was, you finally found a job you won't get tired of. And, you know, all of my life, I used to think, well, I have to earn a living. What am I going to do to earn a living? And, you know, I started out thinking I was going to be an engineer. Then I started out thinking I was going to be a physics professor. And then I started out thinking I'm going to be a musician, a songwriter. And then I ended up having all these weird jobs. And then I ended up traveling around selling things at festivals. And it all seemed temporary. It's like, well, you know, I don't really want to do this, but I have to earn a living. And then this whole thing started with writing the Wilcock book and Daphne. And then they said, you finally found a job you won't get tired of. And at that time, I had no idea, well, what does that mean? You know, what is this job? How am I supposed to do this?
Mm.
And, you know, it's just been unfolding and unfolding. And
you don't know until you get into it that it's unfolding that way.
That's right. And not only that, the interesting thing about this job, if you want to call it a job, is that it's not dependent on a worldly hat, so to speak. And as it goes, it builds energy underneath it. So every month, the vantage point is different because energy keeps building, and the people around it that are coming into it, when you're operating in the law of one, and I don't even know if I want to say that I'm operating in the law of one, but I think I am.
You're trying to.
I'm working at it, but It's kind of like you become everyone else. You are everyone else. And so as people change, you're surfing the change with them. And suddenly, your perspective keeps changing, because everyone around you is changing. For example, at one point, I felt like, the word that came into my mind, I'll say it, a fart in a hurricane, okay? And in other words, how in the world is this going to impact people? I think this is important, but I seem so very small, and everything seems so big, and you know, I had the idea that I would knock on doors, and, you know, when you think of success, you think of having support from the elite. I didn't put it in those words at that time, but when I look back on it, that's how success looked.
And you would get hold of people with really big names, and they would think you were good, and then they would talk to others about you, and you'd be in.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that did not happen at all. In fact, it was reversed.
Well, it happened. Yeah, you knew a really big name, and they talked to other people about you, but nothing transpired.
Right.
So everything happened except the outcome.
Right. And then at a certain point.
Surprise.
At a certain point, I realized this is only going to happen if I make it happen. But how can one little guy do that?
If you let it happen.
Yeah, or let it happen. Well,
relax.
When I say make it happen, you know, to me, there was a making of it. There was, you know, a forward motion and then a retreat, doing something in a retreat. Trying this and then observing it. So there was definitely an act of creation, an act of participation on my part. Because
so when did you start your first conference call? Because that seems to be what has been, you know, a hookup with people that really do matter on the other side.
Right. Well, I started the first conference call. Geez, I think, Terry, when did I start the first conference call?
Well, it seemed like we were in La Cunada. It seemed
we did a conference call from La Cunada. We were doing that.
Yeah, it seemed like
You know what? I actually started with the Don and Wynn show on BBS Radio.
Oh, right, yeah.
That was the start of being in the public.
And
we started recording a lot of them in 2007.
I mean, if somebody wants to do a kick, you should go look on BBS Radio and look up the archives of the Don and Wynn Show, and you will hear Wynn not being very together. And sometimes that show was, there were aspects of that show which were really funny. And someday, if I take the time, I'm going to go and edit some of them and put them together. Because they were so funny. I mean, when I say funny, I'll give you an... Don Newsom is the person who is founded BBS Radio. And he discovered... Somebody recommended that he meet me, somebody that knew him and knew me. And I got on the phone with Don, and I told him my story. And he said, Wynn, you have the most far-out story I have ever heard. How would you like a radio show? And at that time, I said, how many times can I tell my story? First of all, no one was listening to his radio show. He had three shows, I think, and he was just starting, and I couldn't imagine showing up every week and talking. And so I said, Don, I'll tell my story into a tape recorder, and you can put it up, which he did. And I don't think anyone listened. You know, when you're on the Internet and you hear things, and when you guys are all over the world listening, you might think this is a big radio show with 10,000 or 100,000 people. But Internet shows are not like that. I mean, I guess they could build to that. But, you know, what I learned after talking to Don for a while is that some of these shows that he had on, and he just had three of them on, were getting like 10 listeners, 15 listeners. You know, very, very small numbers, and yet everyone sounded like they were talking to 100,000 people. Well, I sent the audio in, and he played it, and then he started calling me, or we would talk to each other, and he would be asking me questions, and he kind of acknowledged that I had a little wisdom, and that he was curious about this. And our conversations were very good. And at one point, I taped one of the conversations, and I sent it to him, and I said, Don, why don't we put this on the air and call it the Don and Wynn Show? And he said, wow, that's a great idea. Now, you know, Don is kind of boisterous, you know, enthusiastic. Hey, Wynn, how you doing? How's everybody? He comes on sometimes at the beginning of the shows. So you can hear, you can feel his energy. And we had a really interesting dynamic. And, of course, in the back of my mind, I just wanted to use the Don and Wynn Show to talk about these beings on the other side. And Don would usually derail me. But I think we're doing it for about 2 months. And at that time, Daphne and I were living separately. She was living, I think, in Cape Cod. And I invited her to be a guest on the show because she thought all the stuff we were doing was very wacky. And no one would be interested. And so she came on the show, and we were interviewing her. And I would say for the first part of the interview, she was talking about how I ruined her life and da 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 da. And then suddenly, in the middle of this interview, she says, they want to say something. What do you think? And I said, uh-oh. I mean, we had not done public channeling at that time. And I was always afraid that we would bring something negative in and then you couldn't take it back. When you do things in the public like this, you can't, once it's done, it's done.
It's out there.
It's out there, right. But I said, we probably only have 10 people listening. Why don't we take a chance? And so there was this extraordinary message that came in. And Don was flipped out. And so the show went on, and Don was kind of intrigued with this crazy idea of Daphne and Terry, and Terry would come on. And then I think one of the funniest things that ever happened, and I don't know the answer to this, I'll just tell you what happened, is that Daphne was on the show, and she did a session. She started, you know, we did a channeling. Now, in the first time that she did it, that very first time, it was the Council of 12, which, I mean, they described themselves as the administrators for the Elohim. And it was a very deep, profound message about the state of the world. And I think the next time we did it, I was expecting something like that. But by this time, Don was completely irreverent on the show. And to him, he did not hold the energy of sacredness. And the first time, we got away with the Council of 12. And a couple of few months later, the voice that came through Daphne said it was Buck Choi the Dolphin. And they were there to answer questions. People would call in. Well, I mean, I'm sitting there, and I mean, it was funny. And to this day, I don't know if we had a dolphin or if we had the Elohim making pretend they're a dolphin so that they could do this without, you know, being made fun of or something. And those shows are all in the archives of BBS Radio. If you look up the Don and Wynn show, those were the days. But in any case, I don't remember what you asked me, Carla. And now I'm talking.
Oh, you were telling me how you started.
Carla was on.
Carla
on the Don and Wynn show with you on December 3rd, 2005.
More than once, right? Oh, I know. Terry, the question was, when do we start conference calls? Well, what happened was there were people coming into the Don and Wynn show and people that were hearing me give live talks, and they were interested in pursuing the work or paying attention to it. And
Don wasn't.
But I started doing conference calls for the people that were interested. And I said, how do I give support to people? And, you know, when we started, we never did channelings live. And, you know, sometimes I would read channelings. In fact, when we first started, there was a fellow named, what was his name, Terry?
The guy in Las Vegas?
No, not the guy in Las Vegas. Oh, God, I know his name really. If you're listening, excuse me for forgetting your name temporarily. No, the guy in South Carolina, Wayne Smallridge. And Wayne really was a fan of the Carla Ruckert material. And so on Tuesdays, he used to read one of Carla's Quo channelings every Tuesday. And we would just read things. And then again, I invited Daphne to listen in to one of these conference calls. And I said, you know, people are really being influenced. And again, she came on. She was in Cape Cod. And at this point, there was a message. She suddenly, I wasn't expecting her to channel. I just wanted her to listen. And then there was this, again, she said, they want to say something. And if you've listened to the video on Intelligent Infinity, the little video, the 15-minute video that opens up that page, intelligent-infinity.com, I have a good portion of that audio, of that session, because this was the Elohim, or the voice that says it's the Elohim, coming in saying, we've waited a long time for this moment. You know, we had 15 people on the call, and it was just quite amazing. It was one of those triumphant, amazing calls and sessions that Daphne brought through the Elohim on that was a total showstopper. Remember, on the Donna Wynn show, the Elohim was not talking directly. It was the Council of Twelve that was doing that. And now, you know, when these guys say who they are, I never know that they really are who they say they are. I gauge it by the value of their message, the intent of their message, the vibration of their message. And at that time in particular, now I tend to believe that they are who they say they are. But, it, you know, for a long period of time, I didn't even want to say that because it was too much to live up to. We did say it. They said it. And, you know, I said, well, I know they talk through other people. And I know they don't always say the Elohim. And I believe even the Ra group might talk through other people. And they don't say they're the Ra group. I mean, the Elohim, there's one person that channels, he says it's the group. Another person is the Council of Light. And in a sense, that's a little easier if they're identifying themselves that way, because you don't have to say that you're bringing through this exalted, one of the most exalted name in terms of God, probably, in history, which was the Elohim.
But and I don't think it's just that. I think there's more than that to it. I think that when some energy is coming through an entity, like comes through me, comes through Terry, comes through Daphne, the entity and the channel have created an unique passageway.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be said, okay, this is great exalted being number one through Carla, and then great exalted being number one through Terry, great exalted being number one through Daphne. But that's not really the way it works, because there are as many vibrations as there are people. And there are many, many sources of good information that are delighted to speak with us, and they have all different vibrations. And so you're looking at a fairly huge number of possible hookups. So it's not that there's this one entity on the other side and they speak with slightly different names because they have different people. They're actually different entities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're different parts of the Elohim, or they're different parts of...
I absolutely agree.
Never
with
get
you.
The Ra group such as I got. And nobody else could do it as I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody says they're channeling Ra, I just shrug and say fine, because I know that if you look and listen to the Ra group through me and the so-called Ra group through anybody else, it's not going to sound the same. It's not going to have the energy that's the same. And I have no reason to defend it or whatever, but they express, you know, you have to have at least three people, you have to do this, you have to do that. You know, there were rules that they set up for doing it with me, and they were explaining what they had been looking for when they found me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is not going to happen through another person. But an energy that's a good bit like that could come through somebody else, and
mm-hmm.
and that energy may say, I am Ra. Well, it's a whole planet full of people. There are millions and millions of people on the planet. Why couldn't it be somebody from that planet, which is Ra?
Well, you know, you know.
But it's not the same, so you're not going to find two people offering the same energy. That's all I was saying.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Make sense?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah. What I wanted to say, or my take on this, is that when there's a session, a channeling session, that is coming from what calls itself a group soul, then the group that's grounding it becomes part of the group's soul. And it's actually, it's not a them and a you. They're just giving the information.
Right.
It's congruent with the group that's grounding it. That's why Daphne and I and the sources that come through sound one way, and Terry and I and the sources that come through sound a different way. And people would wonder, how can that doesn't sound like the same? But we're not talking about personality here. We're talking about group energies.
Right.
But the group energies are merging. Just as you feel the merging on these calls, they're merging with us. And they're talking to, they're the higher aspect of us talking exactly in the right way through our expression. And, but nonetheless, there's people that I feel are channeling part of the Elohim group, but they don't say it's the Elohim. And one of the things that the thoughts that crossed my mind is that if a source identified itself by an exalted name to someone, then that could easily perpetuate an ego trip on that person. And that if they have the propensity for self-aggrandizement, or if they're feeling secure and they want to say, geez, I'm talking to the Elohim, I'm really somebody, then there's a pretty good chance they won't use those names in identifying themselves, because the name doesn't matter. But in my case, I was so scrutinizing and so skeptical. Plus, I've had previous lifetimes where I connected with them, and I took it like a detective to figure out, this can't be real. Can this be real? And I kept taking it apart until I came to the conclusion it was real. And in
the case of Terry, you have here a sweet, humble soul that is proof against ego.
Right.
Not interested in ego, doesn't like it, won't take it. Laughs at it, walks on. So
right.
there's not going to be aggrandizement.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's I think that there, I won't say it's decision making, but there is I don't think they're thinking, well, we better not tell these people that we're the Elohim. I think it just happens automatically as a result of the group energy that's connected, that's grounding it. You know, this is why when people say they want to channel, they think that I'm just going to be of service and let somebody speak through me. And it's so easy from that vantage point to get a negative source. And believe me, negative sources are looking over everyone's shoulder all the time, waiting for a moment of weakness or a moment of,
temptation.
Temptation.
Temptation, that's a simple word, yeah.
Yeah, and
ego mostly. Oh, well, this will make me look good.
Yeah, and people eat it up all the time. You know that? They eat it up. I imagine, I know this has happened. I know it because I've met people that have had this experience. And suppose you're in a high person in a religion, and your wife suddenly says, we've chosen you. You're the same person. We're the same voice that spoke through Jesus. And then they do a little bit of psychic phenomena, and they predict a couple of things. You will be hooked. That's hard to resist. I mean, unless you heard a show like this, when somebody said, be careful, to a novice who heard a voice like that, that whoever was talking to them would have them in the palm of their hand. And this happens on grand scales, grand, all over the place. And of course, when it's happening, people don't usually announce, I'm getting messages, but they will be in the background following the dictates of those messages, which is how you get some of these these terrible rituals and sacrifices, etc., etc., etc. And as we said last Monday, as I was going through the Bible, even those sources, some of those sources, I don't know, you know, the one that I pick on is Yahweh, because Yahweh is nothing like our sources. Yahweh was creating fear, was sacrifices, control, and that...
It was a good example of a mixed energy.
A good example of a mixed energy.
Yeah, part of it came from beyond, but it was a negative source.
Yeah.
And it was, as Rob pointed out, it was a negative source working through a positive channel. So the best they could do was to put a spin on positive information that made it end up being negative. Like, it's one thing to say, love your neighbor. It's another thing to say, thou shalt not commit adultery.
See, all the shalt...
You say, thou shalt not. That's negative. So that's the difference right there. And may I say, if it ever happens to you and I say, well, we're the same voice as spoke through Jesus, sweetheart, don't think you're smart. Just back up and say, well, I love Jesus with all my heart. I mean, they wouldn't say I'm, you know, the same voice as spoke through Jesus unless you love Jesus, okay? So you say, okay, I love Jesus, so challenge them in the name of the same energy that spoke through Jesus. Challenge them. Can you say that Jesus is Lord? Can you say that you come in the name of Jesus? And that is calling upon the source, not you, but something on the other side. And if they're negative and they're not from that energy, they can't say that. And you have just stopped a sad thing from happening. You've just stopped that energy from being able to use you. So it's really simple. You just have to.
I should say here, if Jesus doesn't happen to be your personal reference point, then you can pick something that is the highest personal reference point you can come up with. Like, do you come in the law of one? Do you come in service?
Service to others. Jim uses.
Yes.
In the name of service to others.
Do you, are you here? And this is one of the reasons that having two or three or more people holding the space, and this was in the raw material, they said that the negative cannot get through a loving space. They bounce off of it. Because they would have to become love to enter the space. And in a certain way, they're saying that you, or us, or we, are equal to that energy. Because not equal in the sense that we have the knowledge or the power, but we're holding it on Earth. And so it's our loving energy that becomes the filter to make sure a negative source won't come through, because they won't come through a loving space. If you're coming from the place of power, and when I say power, I can mean giving up your power, tell me what to do, then that will automatically tempt a negative source. Those of you that have been listening to our Wednesday sessions, where people ask questions, and some of you even think that, just tell me what to do. And they think that there's some answer to that question. And there is not an answer to that question of tell me what to do. And you'll notice how masterfully the sources that come through Terry will always turn a question. You know, this took me a while to have confidence in, because I was afraid they would start telling people what to do, and then I'd start worrying about who's talking. But they never do. They they give you the guidance to activate your own discernment.
The general guidelines, nothing specific. That
right, the general guidelines. So that you
so
can
that
then...
So that doesn't abridge free will, you see.
Right, right. But a negative source will tell you what to do, and that abridges free will. And, Carla, you've done an awesome job. Did you notice how fast the time went? You know, that is the criteria when it's working. The time goes fast. And that means that whatever we talked about, we were accessing higher dimensions. And you can use that as a good reference point for yourself, that if you move into something and the time is moving fast, then that's a sign that something is going on. Now, that may happen with negative sources, too. Negative sources are in higher timelines as well. But I don't know. What do you think of that one? Can the negative sources make the time move fast?
Well, they can to a certain extent. But it's harder for them to maintain, because
mm-hmm.
then what else, what else, what else? And the negatives always depend on specifics.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're trying to tell somebody specifics about the future, you can't more than guess. And the principles of prophecy have to do with what's possible, what's probable.
Right.
The Ra calls that possibility-probability vortex. You have a possibility-probability vortex that something's going to happen in X number of days or months, okay? And you have little ones and you have big ones. And a prophet hones in on the biggest one and says, this is what's likely to happen, or this is what's going to happen, and just sort of makes a shortcut. But you run out of that when you have to make it more and more and more specific, because the possibility-probability vortex fails. And so the negative source has to begin creating, and that's one thing they're not very good at.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys can look at people, and you can see there's certain people out there that always have to have something new and breakthrough to get your attention. And that if they lose that, they feel like they don't have your attention, and their underlying agenda is to hold your attention to them. And if you notice, we don't do that. We don't have new and breakthrough things. I mean, we could be saying, what's going on in the universe? There's a wave coming in here, and groups of people are going to be ascending next week, and there's going to be an overthrow of the government. And, you know, you could say things like that, and you'll get a bunch of people suddenly paying attention to you for a little while. But after a while, you know, they keep watching you, you keep doing that, and you lose the energy. Some of you are out there looking for that stuff. And you can look and just notice it. But while you're looking, notice that aspect of things, that if you're trying to get someone that has an inside track on what's going on, and they keep coming through with, I mean, there was a lot of people before December 21st, 2012, that were using that as a way to hold the energy of loads of people. And then, of course, I mean, we did ask that question, and our sources said nothing is going to happen on December 21st, 2012. It's going to be another day. But yet there were probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people paying attention to that date, thinking something extraordinary was going to happen. And there were lots of people in the public eye that were using that anticipation to hold the energy. And that's a very...
I really felt so let down. I felt so sorry for them, the ones that called in to us and said, well, what the heck happened? And I pointed out, you know, that this was something that was not in our, on our side of the veil. It was on the other side. It was something that had it caused a shift in the way energy came through. And so we were going to be seeing progressive shifts in the way the energy came through, but it was happening on the other side. It wasn't happening here, so there wouldn't be any obvious difference here. There would be a slight difference for people that were sensitive to it in the vibrational energy that was available. And then there would be more available and a little bit more available as time went on. And sure enough, that's what psychics have talked about. Oh, here's another shift coming. Here's another shift coming. And that's right. That's the way it is. But in terms of what's happening on this particular planet in the here and now, physically, nothing. Like you said, another day.
You know, it's my opinion, and I may be not accurate in this, but it's my intuitions tell me that it is possible for a human to get above all of this stuff, to get above the planetary things. I mean, when I used to do astrology charts and I would interpret charts, I got the idea that on a certain way it was a lower level of relating to the universe. Mm-hmm. And it was true level. And that when you got above it, it didn't mean that it didn't work. You still had to go through the planets, just like if you get above your body, you still have to go through your body. But the point is, it's more like you are operating outside of your body, and you're using your body as the anchor point for that higher level of operation. And in which case, you get above astrology. You get above planetary shifts. You get above, you start flying with the angels rather than...
What they're interested in is the truth that is always the same. It'll
right.
be the same in 10,000 years and 10,000 years after that.
Right.
And there's a wonderful energy to that. And that is the energy that is very, very positive.
So on that note, let me tell you, in 2 weeks from yesterday, Carl and I are going to do session 6 of The Law of One Made Simple.
Can you believe it, folks? We have actually powered through to the 6th session.
Right. And
people are going, shit, they're doing another one. OMG, I can't believe they're doing another one. And it'll be fantastic, right?
That's right. Well, you know what's interesting about these sessions and the raw material is that as you start to hear about the history of not mankind even, but our solar system, as you start to hear that, you hear these events that have occurred over even hundreds of thousands of years, like the Maldek and Mars incident, where Ra moved souls from those two planets to Earth to continue their evolution. As you hear about it, it starts to move you into the timeline of those things. It starts to, many of you are old souls. Many of you were there. And you start to get this intuitive grasp of how big the picture is and how big you are. And that starts to shift energies, potentially, on some of the lower things you're experiencing. In other words, every moment of your life, you're identifying in your consciousness with a certain time track. And it doesn't just stay one way. You go back and forth here and there. There's never like a locking in and saying, okay, I'm always in this time track. You're moving around. And you can tell when time is moving faster. You're moving in a higher time track. When
times is moving slower. You're getting involved with all these petty relationship things, and people are irritating you, and you see what's wrong with everybody. You're now in a lower time track at that point. And you can move from there to the other place and back and forth. And over time, there is kind of, as you expose yourself to higher time track stuff, then you start to anchor more in that higher time track. And then you start having those little synchronicities and those little magical things occur that give some kind of personal validation that something is going on. And then you see those people who were really bugging you on a personal level and that would push your buttons. They start losing their ability to push your buttons. They try and you're just neutral and you're not judging them. You can allow them to do all that they do and you just shrug your shoulders. You don't have to defend yourself. They don't understand and that's okay. You don't even have to exclude them from your life. You can work around them because they don't get to you. And at the point they're getting to you, they're just being your teachers because they're showing you your points of hooks. They are showing you where you can be grabbed and pulled into this realm and get caught up in the drama here. So the raw workshops are very good. First of all, Carla and I always have such a good rapport when we do things together. And then we have all this raw material coming through, talking about all these previous tracks. And at first, it sounds like science fiction. And after a while, you say, wow, this is true. And it starts to reprogram your belief patterns. Because even when you come to these calls, even when you feel good energy, there's something that's so wild about it, it's so out there that you have, I mean, I did. You have to keep asking, how do I know that's true? How do you know that's true? And you see how brilliant, how elegant is the word, elegant the patterns are that hold it all together. And eventually, even though this is so outside of normal reality systems, it makes a lot more sense than the things that are in consensus. At least it does for me. And if you hang in long enough, you can see if it does that for you. And by the way, if you notice what I just did, that was an example of making sure free will is always tantamount, because you may not have the same experience as I do. You may think we're full of it, and that's okay. And I'm not going to tell you to believe this because I believe it. I can tell you my experiences. I can tell you how it proved itself to be. But ultimately, you are in the laboratory of your own life, and you have to make it work for you. You have to take, we can go over this over and over again, and we show up, but somehow or another, you have to integrate it, and you have to see something change in your life that's positive, and that makes you have a synchronicity. People change their attitudes. I mean, I get emails from people that I was on your call, and suddenly all the people that I knew that I was having trouble with, I stopped having trouble with them. They started treating me differently. And that person didn't tell them, you got to get on Wynn's calls. You got to believe in this. You got to believe in Ra. You got to believe in the Elohim. You know, it's like it was you who shifted. And you are the expression of God in this realm. Every one of you is an expression of all that is. And you're no worse than the greatest thing in the universe. You know, you may have more limited abilities because you're in this realm. But many of you are wanderers and starseeds, which means you at one point you were up there and you volunteered to come here just to do this anchoring, which we're doing on these calls. And in this realm, once you were here, you didn't find anything that helped you anchor. You didn't understand why you were here. You were confused. You had the amnesia that everyone gets when they're in this realm, no matter where they came from. But you, in fact, made a great, great sacrifice to come here to do this work, and that some of you are connecting with the fact that this, the work we're doing, the work we're presenting, is resonating with that original intent to be of service here. And on that note, anything you want to add to that, Carla?
No, I think that's a really good time to segue into all of us souls letting ourselves become open to the gateway to intelligent infinity and doing some work together.
Thank you. Well, if you happen to be listening for the first time or you're new, one of the things we've learned, and I learned this by trial and error, is that our souls, our soul energies, follow our intent. And that we, when we learn to have the correct intent, we can shift our connections. And so every week we do a visual vision, guided meditation. A guided visualization.
There you go.
And that if you go along with this and you trust my guidance on it, we can have the experience of what it feels like to move through the veil and feel that sense of connection to the higher realms and the earth. And some of you noticed, just as soon as I said that, something shifted. I felt something shift. A tingling came through my body. A feeling of an expanded presence that I was part of something. And here we are, all in our separate little abodes all over the world, and we're having the experience of being part of each other. So to do that, we've got to be outside of our physical bodies. Or we're in it, but we're out of it. It's a duality. But we'll start out with the universe is one being, and we are all souls in that being. And on the earth, because of the amnesia factor, taking a body in this realm means we have separated ourselves from the experience of being part of all that is. And we're not really separate, but it feels that way. And there's a veil around our planet that keeps that feeling held tightly. It's not easy to break through it. That we found on these Sunday calls in particular, that we can work as a group and we can bring our energies together in higher dimensions in the areas that you can't see. But there's an unusual feeling, and it's hard to describe until you have the feeling, because it's not. It would be like a person who can see trying to explain to a person who is colorblind what colors are, and it's impossible. So we're moving into certain experiences that there are not words for to describe. So if you want to have this experience, move into a neutral place inside of you. Move into kind of a passive state for the moment and be open and shut your mind down. Try not to identify anything. Try not to recognize anything and see what happens. Now, you know, if you're going to do that, you should have developed some level of trust for what we're doing. And if you haven't developed that, then you can look at this as an observer and just from your mental levels, but you won't have the experience, most likely, if you do that. But it's important to get the trust level because that's what allows you to be open to let the energies come in. So in the Law of One, in the principles of the Law of One, there's only one energy in the universe, and we're all subsets of it. And we start out looking at Earth and realizing that Earth is alive. Earth can feel. There's an energy around the Earth and inside the Earth. And that energy is something that we're living in. We take it for granted because we're inside it 24/7 that it becomes just kind of a, it's like living in a beautiful city, and you can often not notice the things in that city that a traveler would notice. So right now we're going to notice the Earth, and we're all standing or sitting on the Earth, and the Earth has this huge energy coming up from it and through our floor and through our feet. Sometimes it's good to put your feet flat, either on your bed or on the floor, so your soles are parallel to the Earth, and feel that energy coming up through your feet. And if you feel a tingling, if you feel a sensation, you can consider the possibility that you are actually feeling Mother Earth. And that Earth is responding to your invitation. And we can tell Earth, thank you and we love you for hosting us for many, many lifetimes. And we move that energy from the Earth through our legs, through our calves, through our genitals, through our solar plexus, through our chest, through our neck, and up to the top of our head. So it's a finger of energy from the Earth that we have become one with. And now we can continue moving the energy through the top of our head. You know, there's something called the chakra system, which are these seven energy centers in your body. And the top of your head is called the crown chakra. And it's usually defined as the gateway to intelligent infinity. And we have the idea that there are these group soul energies that we call intelligent infinity, one way of describing them. So we're going to move the energy up through the top of our head. And just imagine your energy is about a foot above your head. And we keep moving, and we move to the ceiling. And while we're there, let's just spread the energy expanded into our room. Turn our room into a sacred place, filled with this loving energy. We continue through the ceiling. If there's rooms above you, through the rooms above you, up to the roof. And now we move through the roof and into the sky. It's kind of like you're dancing above your house. Can you feel that sensation of dancing? We keep moving through the clouds. Through the ionosphere. And then somewhere there is this veil that surrounds the earth that holds our energies in check, in compression, in contraction. And we move through that veil. And as we start moving through the veil, on the other side of the veil, we're not only moving through space, we're moving through time. According to the way the universe is described by our sources, is that time is an illusion. All time exists simultaneously. There is no past. Is only the now. And that means as we move through time, we bring in all those past lifetimes that you've had on this planet and on other planets. We don't have to remember them. Just have the idea that we're moving through them. Because all those lifetimes established a certain track of energy in your system, and that as you have a new life, that track follows you and creates what some people call karma. And so we're moving above all of those tracks. We're moving through them. And we hit a place where we touch each other. We converge. You know, within the idea of the law of one, everything starts with one energy, is the same energy. And as we move through time tracks, we are moving into that energy of oneness. And when we do, when we come close to that, suddenly, all of us on this call, all of us on the replays, we are close to each other. We're moving to our essence. Our innocence, who we were before we got corrupted. We all got corrupted. And we can invite our group soul sources, or what identifies itself with that, to join with this creation. Keep in mind, everything I've said for us is also true for them. They all had a time track. They all started from nothing. Their track is different than ours. But when you go to the top of your track, we all meet at the same place. So let's just silently tell each other we love each other. Thank each other, because it takes all of us to have this experience. In the combining of our energies, we can thrust, we get enough thrust to move through the timelines and connect to this place, where we can experience the oneness. Now, it's my take that the universe is created from up here. This is the beginning of creation. Things start as a ripple in this ocean, and then it precipitates through all those dimensions, and then it becomes something that manifests in reality. And so when we have a synchronicity, because part of us was up there, when we have a healing, because part of us was up there and could allow this to move into our body system and shift something. When we use this talent and ability, it's always for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. So, I know that everyone on this line has something in their life that they would like to change. And maybe it's just blessings for a friend of yours. Maybe it's something to heal in your body. Maybe it's the overcoming of some obstacle or hang-up that you've been carrying with you, and you felt really stuck. Well, let's imagine that we're at the place right now, prior to all of those things. And that our sources are hearing us, our high self is hearing us. And hold in your mind the thought of what you would like to change, to shift. It could be for the planet, it could be for yourself, it could be for someone you care about. Of course, we have a healing list, so I'm going to read a few of the things on our healing list. You know, sometimes it's good to write things down, whether you put them on our healing list or whether you keep a journal. I was talking with Carla at some point. We might do a little three-week workshop or four-week or two-week, I don't know, and work really with people on things they can do to help shift their things in their life, like writing your dreams, keeping a journal, having certain disciplines, things that we've done. And so for some people, putting things on the list is helpful to anchor the energy. So Marcia in Panorama City, again, sends healing, guidance, protection for her friend Jim Cole and George West, for his health in his upcoming trial, and healing for Jim's daughter. And then Marcia asks for healing for herself, financial prosperity, so she can give in service, and more than enough for her personal family, friends, and many others. I'm freeing of blocks and obstacles on all levels. You know, each of these people is us. Do you realize that? As we hold the space for them, we're holding it for ourselves. Barbara in Twin Falls, Idaho. Gratitude for all her blessings, seen and unseen. She puts into the light severe back pain down my left buttock due to a bulging lumbar disc. She has her brother in the light, and her sister Pat and her friend Kevin for healing and harmony on all levels. Rick in Iowa City. He puts his wife Kathy's health issues in the light. Thank you for the highest good. Anna in Fremont, California. Total physical and spiritual healing. She asks about her brother's cancer issue and the name of the doctor you mentioned before. Email me and mention that, okay? And there is someone I know that they say they have a company that has a certain product that's been really helping people with cancer. And email me and I'll tell you what it is. If you ever email me and I don't email you back, email me again. Because I do try to answer my emails. But there are moments when I have a lapse and for some reason I think I'm going to go back to something because I need to create special attention to focus on it. And I don't get back to it, and it gets lost. So email me again if it's important. It's not personal. And Kathleen puts the following people in the light. Her cats, Bert,
Marion Phantom, my brother and his wife, and healing for all the situations and relationships in our jobs to generate an abundant, steady income. Thank you. I am grateful. You know, if you really want something to happen every day, take a moment and hold the space for that. Write it down. Mel in England. He sends love and light to his friend Roger. Who was expected to die 18 months ago. And again, he was sent home from the hospital expecting to die. And he's living. And he's on natural foods and oxygen. Let's put Mel's friend Roger in the light. All of us together, just hold the space, true Mel of Roger. You can feel the energy move. Kathleen puts the planet in the light. People, places, animals, situations, things for the highest good of all concerned. And then we have Lise in Rimrock, healing for both herself and her daughter, for our skin and our entire digestive systems. Zoe in Sacramento. Zoe is an old-timer here. Open the path for my work to contribute at the highest level. Healing for my cousin Jack in Florida and all who have cancers. For my friend Bob's children and their mother. Zoe, you could ask me for that person that has that product. I'm not promising it'll work, but I know that it has worked for people. You know, Gary called them. Called the company up, and the woman that answered the phone was supposed to die from liver cancer, and she didn't. She was given like a 4-month timeline, and it's years later, and she's still alive, and she attributes it to that product. So, Don Herman has a bunch of lotto tickets, and he asks that, Monday, July 22nd is the drawing. Don, I hope you're going to give us lots of money if you win for this work. Cecil in Mountain Terrace, Washington. I put myself in the light for healing, protection from surgery on my left knee, taking place on Monday at 7 p.m. On my weight-bearing joints. Thank you so much, Cecil. And let's go back to each of us and quietly put our own requests in the light in this field. Usually I bring the energy back down through our bodies, but God, we're going a long time. Let us go and get a message from Terry. Are you there, Terry?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, Carla, and everyone within the sound of my voice right now, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those forces that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. We turn it over to Terry and our sources.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra on the 21st of July 2013. And we take a moment and reconnect with each and every individual that wishes to be connected with, as we are free will, and we only connect where asked and desired. And we see the things that you have put in the light, and we see the kernel of the desire for yourself, for another, the things that you have asked for, that desire, and whether that desire will hook up with manifestation and will be able to bring the shift into your life, into the life of the others that you have asked for. We concentrate for an instant on Roger, and the instant is going to move on, but still stay, that Roger can use his desire, which has already brought him through a number of months when he wasn't expected to live, to fulfill his desire to bring in from the surroundings, from the universe, the things that his body needs to take hold of to heal, to bring him through. We take a moment and we look at other things that individuals have put in the light. And we see in each one there is a kernel of desire, of wishing, of wanting, of taking hold of manifestation and bringing that desire into a greater and greater envelopment of what is wished. It is that desire, that connection, that will bring you into the change that you wish. We see the job. We see the unfolding of a new shift for the person who wishes to shift jobs, and the bringing of help into the arena of a new life. We see each and every one of you. And we are with you, and keep asking each day, keep envisioning what it is you wish to move into, and we can add our energies. We will add our energies. We are available when you ask to your healing, to the things that, when they are for the highest good, will manifest. For the highest good of the individual, for the highest good of all around. Thank you. We leave, but we do not leave.
Thank you. And we move very quickly into our planetary healing, where we hold that space of our combined energies. And we move through all the dimensions, all the timelines, and we surround our planet. And of most importance, we give support to all those small groups that are increasing in numbers all over our planet, who are holding the space for healing and shift. We move through and around all those things which we can call negative, and we realize the power of this energy, to transform. We can think of the Grand Canyon and the river, the Colorado River, which over time cut through the stone. And we're like a river flowing around everything and holding the space of love and light and transformation for each person that's reaching for that in a body. We send love to the earth and ask for help in the mediation of natural disasters, earthquakes, tornadoes. Drought. We ask for interventions in preventing any nuclear weapons from going off. We ask for molecular reconfiguration of those things in our environment that are toxic to us, chemtrails, things that are in the water that are toxic to us. And we ask for the strength and the wisdom to hold this space in our personal areas, in our homes, in our families, with our friends, that we can hold the vision of seeing the divine in everything in our life, no matter how it presents itself, to see through it, see its true nature, and inwardly support that nature.
I thank you all for being here. I thank Carla and Terry and Marilyn and Donna. And I thank our sources for trusting us to be here and support us with their energies. And we'll just count down. And for those of you that need to get grounded, just move down. And if you want to stay in this space and hold it, you can do that. And the call ends. Some people meditate and hold the space for a couple hours to help anchor it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.